let's see, what's the right word for it? We're going to have a board of advisors on that project, most of whom will be scholars who have done a lot of work on religion and new religion, psychologists, sociologists, anthropologists, historians, and so on. But I would like some input as well from people who have had some direct involvement with problematic groups and
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I mean, I certainly would be willing to consider it. As you probably know, there's some areas of conflict between Lowell Stryker and myself. If he's going to be on, it probably wouldn't. Okay. That would be my only problem, you know. Other than that, sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, good. I'll send you a copy of our conference. Did I give you a copy of the conference paper for you?
Yes. You didn't, but you got one.
Oh, okay. So you're familiar.
So I am, yeah. It sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, Cynthia was... I actually didn't know you were having... you and Mo were having problems with Cynthia.
Yeah, she mentioned to me that she was going to talk to you. I told her that, you know, she needed to be aware that that Laura wouldn't really like what she was doing, but that she was an adult and she had every right to do whatever she wanted to do.
Right. Do you know if that letter was sent?
Yes, it was.
Did he get a response from
it? No, he didn't get a response, and he called them up asking for a response, and they never returned his call. So, you know, I don't really know how it was received back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be interested in that. I don't know whether he responded, you know, write them a letter. It was factually inaccurate, certainly. Ways which I find upsetting is people that are really believe in.
Well, Cynthia's concern was that she wanted you to know that what Lowell did behind people's backs. That was her concern.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he sent that letter to Dr. Davis, he told Dr. Davis he didn't ever want you to find out that it was done. And I don't know if Cynthia explained to you or not, but it was done in top secret. She wasn't even supposed to have anything to do with it.
The letter doesn't say it in the text that he didn't want me to find out. How did he tell Dr. Davis?
That was by telephone.
Oh, I see. So did he actually talk to Howard Davis on the telephone?
He talked to him to tell him he was sending it, and then he talked to him a couple of weeks later to find out if he had received it and what the response was, and Dr. Davis never returned the call.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. So the only time he actually talked to him was when he told him he was going to send it.
Right.
You know, if he discussed anything else with him the one time he talked?
No, it was totally that, you know, what he had to say would be in the letter.
It's a little puzzling because Lowell is going right on wanting to be involved in the project. It's a little puzzling just what his motivation.
Well, I was a little puzzled by a lot of Lowell's motivation, which is what caused, you know, us to have some conflict to begin with. Because I really believe in being upfront with people.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, that's the way I've always dealt. I mean, even in people's temple, that was the way we were up front with people. At least I was. You know, I find out later that Jim Jones wasn't being. But that's, I'm much more comfortable just being straightforward and honest, and you never have to go back and retrace your steps.
Right. Yes, you don't have to have such a good memory for one thing.
Right.
You don't have to remember what you told people. You just stick to the truth.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very puzzling because at the point at which he sent the letter, he had some reason to think that he might not be hired by the project should it be funded, but he didn't know it for sure, because I didn't know it for sure, and he's gone on wanting to be hired by the project, so it seems almost as if he was cutting off his nose just by his face.
Well, you know, Lowell seems to be somewhat desperate. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted to make sure of a place, and when you act in desperation, when you try so hard to make sure you're going to get, you know, your cut, you usually don't. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. When you aggressively seek after something like that, at the expense of other people, life has a way of evening things out.
Yeah, you have a, well, for one thing, you have a tendency to freak out the people that whose cooperation you need, because
mm-hmm.
you start to seem so peculiar that people become dubious about associating with you.
Yeah, I'm dreadfully sorry that the whole thing happened. I mean, as far as the Human Freedom Center goes, we didn't get any rent except a month and a half for the whole month, the year of 1979. And we soaked so many thousands of dollars into the project, and we just went broke. We had to sell a piece of property in order to just barely keep going. And, you know, God, now that I've gotten out of it, at least we're able to break even.
Mm-hmm. How are you making your living now?
Well, I have a rest home.
All right.
That I manage, and my husband does rehab on old buildings. So, you know, we're able to make it.
You're renting out that house now?
Yeah, we rented it to university students. Oh. It came at a good time for that because there were 1,500 university students without housing.
Oh.
So, you know, it worked out really well. We had it rented the first day we advertised it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a position with the Human Freedom Center? I mean, I know you were backing it, but did you have some title? Or?
Well, okay, I was one of the original incorporators, mm-hmm. and I was called the research director.
I see.
What I did was accumulate all the clippings and all the letters about cults and any kind of information that came in, a lot of the mailing, the brochures and things that the different groups sent out. And so I collected quite a file on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was, something that just occurred to me. I wondered if you would be willing to write a letter of support for the proposal. We're including quite a few of those various people.
Yeah. Why don't you give me some idea of what you need?
Okay.
I mean, I've been looking into Pacific Institute, and I feel it's really a very good organization. And I haven't heard anything wrong with GTU. In fact, you know, in retrospect, I really can't understand why Lowell was so upset.
Hmm. Yes, I don't know why. Well, I think he was upset because he found out that he might not be hired. Do you think that he really was upset for you?
Well, you know, what happened is he found out that the main amount of the grant was going to go for research. And at that point, What they tried to do is they wanted to bring in somebody else then to do the research at Human Freedom Center because they felt that they needed a professional person. They were going to bring in Bob Morris. And then they realized that the services couldn't be funded by this specific grant, and that's when Lowell started getting really edgy. You know, he wanted to make sure that he had the control over you know, some of the funding anyway.
Well, there was a lot of miscommunication right along, but it's too bad. We should, I think, part of the problem, I think, was that it wasn't clear between Alan Cohen and myself. There was a lot of changing of what we thought the project was going to be as it went along, so it wasn't as, you know, clearly communicated to Lowell as it should have been.
Well, and you know, the project, the Human Freedom Center, was so desperate for money. I mean, we were really broke all the time. I was paying Lowell's salary, and then we had a little problem when Keith was hired because I couldn't afford to pay Keith's salary, and I ended up just then not getting rent so that Keith could get his salary paid. But you know, when you're just not getting enough money, Cindy didn't ever get a salary. I never got a salary besides all the money I put into it. Holly only got, you know, just a pittance. She was getting $700 a month when we could get it to her. It was really, really hard. I mean, you know, I don't think I'd ever want to get into an organization where it was that hard to make ends meet. Because you tend to stop thinking too rationally.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, what Lowell's got now is he's using a different name
Yeah, he's calling himself Reprogrammers. This is what he was to begin with. You know, he had an organization that he called Reprogrammers. And in fact, when we started having some real problems, I suggested to him that he should start up Reprogrammers again. So, you know, and instead of that, he wanted the organization. No ways, no, nothing else would do. You know, so I said, well, okay. So everybody else just resigned from the board and gave it to him, rather than going down to, you know, I'm really not a fighter. I don't like to fight with people. Mm-hmm. And I figured the easiest thing to do would be to just resign and let him have what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. So the board did give him what?
Yeah, we just all resigned and let him have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think what he's calling it now is, I was at a meeting where Keith Arai was the other day, and he gave me a card, just looking at it. Freedom Counseling Center is what they're calling it at this point.
Okay, see, I haven't kept in any contact with them.
They're representing themselves as being a somewhat revised Human Freedom Center.
Yeah.
Do you know if Margaret Singer is still in contact with Lowell?
Well, you know, she talked to him because he left me with a $500 telephone bill, and I asked her to try to get him to pay it because I can't afford to pay it. So she called him for that. But she also resigned at the same time I did. She and Joan Culpepper, whom I don't think you know, and myself were the other board members, and all three of us resigned.
Oh, I see. Was she unhappy with going?
Well, you know, that morning we had just come into work and found everything disappeared. So it was kind of a traumatic experience. Here were two clients left at the center, and the telephones had all been, even the jacks had been removed, and nobody was there to take care of the clients, or they didn't know what was going on. I mean, it was really a mess, and Margaret was totally disgusted, just like we were. We ended up having to get these clients back with their families because, you know, we couldn't hold the building open with no telephones and nobody there. So we got them back with their families, which was really good. That's what they wanted anyway.
I'm just wondering what Lowell's standing is with the other people that were supportive towards your center, if you've maintained positive relations.
I really don't know. I'll tell you, Keith made some comment about a slander suit, so I have just stayed as far away as I could. You know, Jesus Christ, I've already lost so much money on that organization. I sure don't need to lose anything else.
Yeah.
So I've just stayed away.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And, you know, I haven't gone around and told anybody that they should disconnect with Lowell or anything. I just, you know, I believe that, like I said, life has its ways of leveling things out.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it like that.
Yeah. Have you maintained a relationship with Margaret?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she and I are still very good friends.
Okay, well, let's see. The Pacific Institute isn't involved in this project anymore. It's PTU and the Wright Institute.
Oh, well, now Margaret has some connections with the Wright Institute.
Yes, she's taught there.
Uh-huh.
She was, she just gave the commencement address to their graduating class.
Oh. Okay, no, and John F. Kennedy is no longer connected with it?
No.
How about Alan Cohen?
No, he doesn't have it.
Uh-huh.
He's still very friendly to it, but the board of directors at Pacific Institute, the management board decided that they would rather concentrate on projects that were more along the drug rehabilitation line. John F. Kennedy, the administrative relationship was just too difficult to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy Blant, who's the head of the PhD program in psychosocial counseling at the Wright Institute, had been hired to write the section of the proposal on evaluation research in the first place. Sort of naturally developed that they would become the sponsor of the project for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the program for the study of new religions at KTU and the Wright Institute. Co-sponsoring the project.
Well, I hope it goes.
I hope so. The whole area is so controversial, and you never know who's saying what about it.
Well, you know, after this mess that we got into, I decided the anti-cult movement is as fraught with problems as the cult movement, you know? And I guess it's just any time you're dealing with human beings, you're going to have all kinds of problems.
Well, where such deep feelings get involved.
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah. So, yeah, I think this project would be funded just depending on how, I don't know how much influence the anti-cult movement has in NIMH. I imagine there are people in the anti-cult movement who would prefer to have a project that was sort of dominated by anti-cult feelings rather than one that's trying to get justice.
Well, I don't know. I would think that they would want an organization that's trying to be objective. Because, you know, as soon as you get blatantly anti-cult, you start being irrational.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, cults have their place. I mean, my God, they've been with us as long as human beings have been around. And you just can't, you know, you can't say they're all wrong. So I really see a need for there to be some middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. That makes you a good person to be on our board of advisors. That's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just see what happens if it gets funded. If it does get funded, it'll start up and next fall.
Uh-huh.
And go from there.
Okay, well, why don't you, can you write me up essentially what you want me to, you know, what areas you'd like me to cover in a letter and send it to me?
Yes, I'll
that would probably be best.
Okay, I'll try to get that done in the next few days. I'll if I may just make some notes and call you. Would that
be fine?
Me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you are you fairly easy to reach?
Yeah, I have an answering machine, so if I'm not here, you can still leave a message.
Okay. Good. Well, good, Jeannie. I'm glad you're going to be involved a little bit. I'd like to get a chance to sit down and talk with you and catch you up to date on what my thinking is, if you think you might have some time.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be fine. Just, you know, give me a call and let me know when.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, thanks very much.
Nice talking to you. Bye.